The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. You're listening to Sonia Poulton on today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm back with you. I am back with you. Hey, you know what it's like, party people. We're just getting used to new arrangements, and there may be some things that happen here and there, but it's all part of the charm of being live, right? So I'm just looking through some news headlines. Of course, there's this situation that is currently happening in Germany. And while our focus is about the UK, this involves a UK missing person. Madeleine McCann, the world's most famous missing child, obviously disappeared in 2007. So there is actually a court case currently taking place in Germany with the man who they called was the number one suspect of Madeleine McCann, Christian Bruckner. He's currently on trial accused of 5 unconnected sex crimes. I have studied, researched, been to the scene of crime twice to do with Madeleine McCann in Portugal. And I am absolutely convinced that Christian Bruckner was never, is not the man responsible for the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. Very convenient that they brought him in. Yes, he sounds like a thoroughly reprehensible individual. But just because somebody is a thoroughly reprehensible individual doesn't mean that they are responsible for all crimes that take place. And obviously what we've seen in Germany is Hans Wolters, the German prosecutor. I've never seen anybody who's been so keen to make a case fit a person. And that's what they've done with Christian Bruckner. They've never really had the evidence that they claim they've had. They've made all manner of statements. Yes, he took her. Yes, he killed her. None of these things have they been able to prove since 2020, when Hans Wolters and the German team stepped onto the world stage to grab a slice of the Madeleine attention pie. Because the fact is, wherever Madeleine's story goes, attention follows. And she is, as I say, the world's most famous missing child. And so they were very keen to jump on that. But the truth remains that the Portuguese police file is probably the closest to what actually took place. And the Portuguese police file actually stated, before it was archived, that Madeleine was believed to have died in apartment 5A. That is what it stated. And of course, then what we saw was the police coordinator, Gonzalo Amaral, was removed from his post because it was completely contrary to what the British Prime Minister, both of them at the same time, Tony Blair, and then to be replaced by Gordon Brown. They completely followed the abduction narrative from the get-go. But bear in mind this, and that is the 9 adults who were there, 6 of them doctors. We were told that they were leaving children night after night. Who does that? But that's what we were told. And so it was an issue of neglect. Nobody has ever been done for neglect, much less the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. But more importantly, this party have failed to comply with requests. They have never, ever done a reconstruction. Can you imagine that? They've never done a reconstruction. They did one for Channel 4. With cops who were acquired with money that was donated by the British public. And while we're on that subject, nearly £14 million, actually in excess of £14 million, has been spent by the British taxpayers for a crime that didn't even happen in this country. Operation Grange, which is the investigation into the disappearance of Madeleine McCann in the UK, started from a position of ruling out all the adults who were there. Well, making no allegations about anybody whatsoever. But child abduction specialists will tell you that when a child goes missing, 9 out of 10 times, it is people who are familiar to the child. Well, immediately the British police said, no, none of these people are part of the investigation. And of course, that sounded dodgy from the get-go. I've made 2 documentaries about Madeleine McCann. And one of the people that I interviewed was the brilliant Colin Sutton, a former detective at the Metropolitan Police. Colin was responsible for solving amazing, important crimes, including around Levi Belfield, to do with Millie Dowler, to do with the Night Stalker. So Colin was absolutely up there. And when it was muted in the British press, the News of the World, which then existed, a Rupert Murdoch publication, it was muted that there was going to be a British investigation into the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. And his name was put in the frame. And he was contacted directly by a friend and a higher up at the Metropolitan Police saying, don't do it. And I said to Colin, what did you take from that? He said that I couldn't look at the parents. And I think that says rather a lot. You have to be able to look at the parents. You have to be able to look at all of the people who were there. But for some reason, that isn't allowed. And on that note, I'm going to go and bring Basil in.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Thank you. Hello, and I'm back here with Basil. Good morning to you, Basil. How are you in my new second hour of this show?
Very well, thank you, Sonia. And it's a pleasure to be here. And good day to our viewers and listeners all around the world.
Wonderful to have you with us, Basil. What are you discussing today? Let's hear it.
It's Tory leaders, old and new, and their whispering campaign over the weekend that the knives are out for Rishi Sunak, uniquely unpopular, uniquely incompetent, and surely destined to lose the next general election, which isn't something that Conservative MPs have all that much recent experience of. Conservative Party is far and away the most successful political organisation in, well, modern Western European history. So as a result, when they've got an unpopular government, they look to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic and stab the leader in the back and replace them with another personality, very much sort of personality-driven party politics in Britain, someone who they hope will be more appealing to voters than Sunak, which frankly could be just about anybody. But the person they've got in mind apparently qualifies for the job on account of her tremendous performance carrying the ceremonial sword at the coronation. I'm talking, of course, about Penny Mordaunt, who is the person being identified by disgruntled Conservative MPs that she is to take over from Sunak. But it seems lawyers connected to a Conservative Party grassroots organisation called Conservative Democratic Organisation are preparing a legal challenge if MPs try to ignore members for a second time and simply crown Mordaunt in the way that Sunak was crowned. He, of course, beat the woman who only was prime minister for 13
Liz
or 40
Truss.
Days.
Yes, absolutely.
So I've forgotten her name.
Liz Truss. I mean, poor Liz. We were talking about this with Jeff Peel earlier. Poor Liz. She was sort of, you know, scapegoated and blamed for all the ills of the party. But as you say, right, the Tories have been one of the most successful parties in modern history. No doubt about it. Why is there so much? I mean, I wouldn't vote for them. I wouldn't vote for anybody. I'm politically homeless. I think people are completely disgruntled with the political system, and rightfully so. I believe we've been shafted. I believe that they are answering to people beyond us. They are globalists. Would you stick with me on those things so far, Basil, or am I out of line?
No, absolutely. There is a unique levels, unprecedented levels of dissatisfaction with the basically two-party political system that we have in the UK. I think only 6% of the electorate in one recent poll said they were satisfied with the way politics is working in Britain, and something like 4 out of 5 say that MPs do not speak for them. So whatever the Tory party do, I think they're still in to lose hundreds of seats at the next election. The key question is, to whom are they going to lose those seats?
Right.
We have such a bizarre system in this country, with first past the post in these relatively small geographical areas, each constituency comprising about 90 or 100,000 voters. Swings can be replicated across the country, but individual results can throw up a lot of anomalies. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this is, it feels like the British people want a political earthquake, a political revolution. Notice I've added the word political there, not violent, but just, you know, people voting for lots of independents and minor parties, traditionally very difficult for them to get elected. But the longer this year goes on, the more the independents are getting organised to take on both Conservatives and also particularly Labour MPs. Let's start with the great moral issue of our time, Sonia, which is, of course, the genocide in Gaza, which sadly is supported by the majority of MPs. But unsurprisingly, in spite of what Rishi Sunak says, only a tiny minority of the British people, the British electorate, support genocide. The vast majority, surprise, surprise, would like to see a permanent ceasefire in the Middle East. Most people want a world of peace, prosperity, and freedom. But both the main parties, whisper it quietly, actually want a world of war, austerity, and authoritarianism. And well, they're quite open about it.
Yes.
So, you know, anybody who stands for basic, decent human values is in with a chance at the next election.
It is impossible for our politicians to represent us because not only are they globalists, but both the government and the shadow and actually the other parties as well, including Lib Dems, but primarily Labour and Conservatives, they're up to their eyeballs in being a friend of Israel, which makes them completely compromised. And so when I hear now, Basil, this favoured expression of Israel has a right to defend itself, I immediately say, this is a propaganda slogan, right? Of course, everybody has a right to defend themselves. And it's propaganda, isn't it, that we're all trained on this idea of October the 7th. It didn't start on October the 7th, but they've done a damn good job of making the world believe so, right?
They've certainly tried. I mean, believe it or not, Netanyahu had the cheek over the weekend to say that the rest of the world had lost its moral compass because they were not in favour of a continued onslaught on Rafah with 40,000 already dead and about 100,000 people injured. That is not enough for Netanyahu, apparently. Because finally some world leaders are attempting to stay his hand and prevent any more innocent suffering, they've lost their moral compass. I mean, it's truly inverted stuff and very, very sinister, if you ask me.
Yes.
You know, that's why George Galloway won in a landslide. And second place in the Rochdale election, of course, went to the Independent, a local chap who runs a garage, never had any previous experience in politics. He beat both Conservative and Labour. And Lib Dems, for that matter, Mr. Tully.
Right.
So, you know, that's an indication of just how fed up with the two main parties people are. And I sincerely hope that after the next general election, we have a hung parliament with lots of independents.
I mean, Basil, you're a political man. You understand how the political landscape works. What could be a decent alternative to our present system? Clearly, the two-party system doesn't work. We're all disenfranchised. We're sick of them. They're compromised. You know, we don't know. When they make a statement, we don't know who's paying them to say that statement or who has invested in their party. So what could be a decent forward solution for us? Because we have to change the system.
It's a very, very good question, Penny. A lot of people in favour
Sonia,
of direct...
you're confusing me with Penny Mordaunt. I don't know how to take that one, Basil. carry my cross.
A lot of people are in favour of direct democracy, people voting through their computers on the internet, you know. That, unfortunately, you know, we've always elected representatives. So I'm still in favour of electing representatives. You know, sadly, we're in a position where the best people in terms of leadership simply don't go into politics. The only people that go into politics are self-serving popinjays of one sort or another. In terms of the system, well, we've got to go to full PR. It's as simple as that, because our political voting system is heavily rigged in favour of the two so-called main parties. For example, the amount of airtime that you get on British television in the run-up to a general election is dictated by the number of votes you got at the previous election. So that makes it, impossible for any insurgent party to make a considerable impact. So we've got to go for full PR. And that way, it isn't a wasted vote if you vote for example, George Galloway, the Workers' Party of GB, or, some other smaller party, can then grab a big share of the seats coming from nowhere, as it were. And that happened in Spain with Podemos. And then, ended up taking, and it's happened in Holland, of course. I mean, perhaps not so successfully with Geert Wilders, who's an arch Zionist, but at least it represents the opinion of the public more directly. And that's, surely got to be a step in the right direction.
I completely agree with you, Basil. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're just getting started, but it's been wonderful to have Basil Valentine here giving us his an overview of what is really taking place in the political landscape. And it's a mess, frankly, an absolute mess. Who knows? It can change, can't it? Day by day, Basil. We could literally have a new prime minister by this afternoon, can't we? They can do it that quickly.
Yeah, pretty much. A week is a long time in politics, as they say.
Right.
Very quickly, I want to end with a slightly more amusing story about another Tory leader, this time Margaret Thatcher, who has been depicted in a gallery of villains at the Victoria and Albert Museum alongside Osama bin Laden and Hitler as part of a comedy exhibition about Punch and Judy. There's a spitting image puppet of Margaret Thatcher, and under which are written, over the years, the evil character in the seaside Punch and Judy puppet show has shifted from the devil to unpopular public figures, including Adolf Hitler, Margaret Thatcher, and Osama bin Laden, to offer contemporary villains. And this has needlessly called for MPs calling for the museum to be defunded, of course.
Oh.
I think people can't take a joke anymore, can they, Sandra?
Well, no, they can't take a joke. I actually protested outside Margaret Thatcher's funeral, Basil. I thought it was absolutely outrageous. We were spending £10 million on a public funeral for a woman who surrounded herself by known paedophiles and allowed several of them to be promoted after she'd been told they'd been partying with young boys. And I have that firsthand from the police who were involved. Right, Basil, listen, take excellent care of yourself. Thank you for joining us this Monday morning. We'll be right back.
TNT's Hervoye Morich.
Being reported today, Canada's financial intelligence unit has shut some of its systems down as it manages what it calls a cyber instance. So again, we've been warned many times over about Cyber Polygon and something like this happening at a greater scale before or during 2025. That's what has been simulated. Whether it happens or not is an entirely different story, but more often than not, when they simulate, pandemics, war scenarios, they do come to pass.
Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Plug in.
Website.
tntradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
It is the coolest, and we are here on Monday morning. Shug is having a laugh in the comments saying, repeat after me, Basil. Sonia, not Penny. Sonia, not Penny. I mean, I don't know what to make of that, frankly. And we're getting some good feedback about the second hour. Craig says, really enjoying the second hour, much better and more time to relax and listen. Thank you. We truly appreciate that. And Zoe says the same. Yes, same. Really enjoyed Chris Thrall. He is an amazing soul. And so say all of us. Thank you again for joining us for the second hour. Truly appreciate it, including I think the viewer at the top of the show who said that that they listen through an earpiece when they're at work before they have to crack on, which is wonderful. Good morning to you. Hope none of the customers can hear you. Now I'd like to welcome my next guest. I'm sure you all heard over the weekend about levels of madness that is taking place at a number of supermarkets in the UK. I am delighted to be joined on the line by Melissa Chimay. Melissa is an actual financial investor, but she is someone who is very proudly and brilliantly speaking out about globalism, about the sort of corporatist policies, about the surveillance and control of every aspect of our life. Melissa, you sound like my kind of gal, frankly.
I think I probably am. I think that we are becoming increasingly aware of the agenda and are compelled to speak out and sound the alarm.
It's so important, isn't it? What made you, what was your sort of your key moment when you said, that's it, I know I do A job, but I have to do B as well?
I think second lockdown, I was asked to join with a group of people, and I really just didn't want to sit around in houses talking about stuff. I didn't see a point in that. And when the second lockdown happened, I was like, okay, where do we meet? And from that meeting, there's been a lot of people doing a lot of active stuff, definitely not just sitting around talking in houses, but that's also part of it. I think that this is an information war. No plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. We are the enemy because we are getting the information out there. Point in fact, that's why they're pushing online harms bill on a global basis, because right, the more people are aware, the more people talk to each other about it, start asking questions, the narrative unravels, because it's based on lies, it unravels very quickly and people see the real agenda, which is a move towards a digital prison.
And I think it's really interesting, isn't it, what's happened over the weekend. So we've seen that Sainsbury's and Tesco and possibly another have been apparently hit by an IT meltdown, we're being told. Of course, for you and I, what this actually highlights. So people were having to pay in cash, right, at these supermarkets.
Yes, I think it happened. Was it Glastonbury? It happened as well that they went, it was some music festival anyway, that they went completely cashless and then the system went down. And people were queuing. It was an absolute chaos. Right now, for me, what's happening with Sainsbury's and Tesco's, it's not a victory. It should be a wake-up call for people, because McDonald's have done this. It was McDonald's a few weeks, maybe months ago, had the same issue. So is it an overnight update that went wrong, or is it a stress test? Because McDonald's is moving into completely cashless. They have now got the screens where you order on the screens, or you can order on the app. And for anybody else, there is little pods to segregate you if you want to use cash instead. So it's becoming more. And if you look at what's happening in supermarkets at the self-checkout, more and more self-checkouts are becoming card only. So right, they're really becoming completely reliant. And because they have this technology, for them, they are moving towards, I guess what their idea is that there's so much theft in their shops. Apparently there's over 3 billion of theft at self-checkouts per year. I mean, for me, the solution there is to get rid of self-checkouts. Sainsbury's are... I personally wouldn't go to Sainsbury's anymore since the cameras were installed. I don't like to go to, is it Asda? They have the cameras installed at the checkout.
Yes. So,
yes, they're creating this idea that you, and Sainsbury's are also, they're the top of the chain of forwarding the agenda. They're also asking you for your receipt on the way out. So it's guilty until proven innocent. At point of exit, you are being conditioned to for facial recognition because you're being watched. They're saying it's protection of customer, that it's to stop the, you know, create the idea. But the data then, they're keeping the data for 31 days. What are they doing with that data? This technology is progressing quicker than we can get a hold on it. And I recently had to get a new credit card because it was fraud on my credit card. And that's after years of them trying absolutely everything to counteract fraud. Well, I can get a new credit card and a new PIN. I cannot get a new face, a new fingerprint. And that's where we're moving towards, this biometric ID. So it's something you really need to take a look at what's going on in the supermarkets, because they are essential. And should credit break, which it will be essential items only. And can you get access to the supermarket? There are customers that were the online orders. Some of those customers won't get refunded for 5 days. Now, in the current financial situation with people, they might not have the money to just go and buy the food again. So, yeah, there's so much to unpack.
Let's with the supermarket experience. Yeah, 100%. Let's come back to this. Let's go briefly to some news headlines, Melissa. Please stick with me because, there, as you said, there is so much to unpack here. Be right back.
What station is this?
Station. Ladies and gentlemen,
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. The mainstream press in the West is once again being exposed for twisting the truth to suit the establishment's anti-Trump narrative. The White House says it has not and will not try and talk France or any other NATO country out of sending troops to Ukraine, if that's what they want to do. And US President Joe Biden is reportedly growing anxious and angry about his plummeting popularity and the increasing likelihood that he will be defeated in November's election.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm just here discussing the implications of this IT crash that has apparently taken over several supermarkets over the last few days with Melissa Chimay. And Melissa is, well, we're starting to dive deep on this, Melissa. As I was just saying to you in the break, we'd received emails from viewers last week saying they're installing gates at my local Sainsbury's and at my local Aldi. And I'd also heard that there is a Tesco in, I think it's WC1 in London, where you can only enter if you've got the Tesco app. This is all part of the same thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've noticed it at Tesco. And it's not the security for people getting out, because one of the Tescos is straight onto the street. The other one, if you wanted to steal something, you would have to get the whole way down the escalator as well. So it's absolutely not for that. There's a move towards a completely digital world. And just like when you go through the airport, it's always conditioning. So the grids are put in place and you just go through them. You know, you go through these gates and you don't really notice them. And then all of a sudden, you have to scan your receipt to get out, same as you do at the airport. And that's, I do tell the story of how to catch wild pigs. And it's, you put up one fence, they kind of get a little bit scared, but you put in some free corn so they come back, and another fence, another fence, another fence. And they keep kind of getting alerted, but being conditioned for it to be normal until the gate goes in, they go in, and it's trap. And the gate, the final gate is digital ID. And we're in the fast track. What's happening in the supermarkets right now is the fences. The gate is digital ID. And we're being fast tracked towards that, and it's being done with what is essential, which is a supermarket. And I would expect, I'm seeing the supermarkets doing the same thing as McDonald's, that you can use cash, but it will be increasingly inconvenient. And we do love to bow down at the altar of convenience. There was other speculation that it was a cash hoarding exercise, because in order to move into cashless society, we do need to contract the physical money supply. But that's what I'm saying. It was dressed as the victory of cash is king. But really, you need to take a look at what's happening in supermarkets. I don't know if you've read Sainsbury's The Future of Food report. Have you had a look at that?
No.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. Yes. Well, they're saying the current food, this is just to an example of how on board with the agenda they are. The Future of Food report is the current foods aren't sustainable. So we need to look at different kind of foods. They've learned about banana blossom instead of white fish. But if you actually delve into banana blossom, nutritionally, it is a lot lower in calories. So you're not getting your calories. It's a lot lower in protein, which is essential. And then by 2025, they're talking about food as medicine. Now, if you delve further into that, currently they're saying they have mushrooms that are boosted with vitamin D and B12. But if you look, they're talking about putting vaccines into food. So they're completely hijacking. And I guess that if they don't get on board with it, they'll just be left behind. There's a complete hijacking of the food supply, and it's being done through these big supermarkets. So really, there is a simple solution. Shop local as much as you possibly can. Give minimal amounts to these. Voting at like 50% of the world is going to be voting this year. We know that the ballot doesn't necessarily work that good, but we know from what's happening with Bud Light, with Vanguard pulling back, with Net Zero, with BlackRock pulling back, that voting with your pound does work. So shop local as much as you possibly can. And these businesses that are refusing cash, they can refuse cash if they want. People need to understand. I've had a lot of people come to me going, I was refused. They wouldn't take my cash.
Right.
There is in Ireland going through, there's an access to cash bill going through Ireland at the minute. It's billed as in regards to financial exclusion for not using cash, that, you know, it's for our benefit. But if you delve down deeper into it, it's the Department of Finance working hand in hand with the central bank. So that's kind of putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And what they're saying is currently only on board with it is that supermarkets, corner shops and pharmacies have to take cash. So they're telling you blatantly that it will only be for essentials. So they're kind of, they're boxing us in with that. Rishi Sunak in 2023 refused to force the UK businesses to accept cash. That's the current state right now. Businesses don't have to take cash. You can pay in yellow crayons. If they demand yellow crayons, that's, you know, what you would have to pay in.
Right.
But if you put petrol in your car and then you go to pay cash, they have to accept cash because then it becomes a debt. And you can settle a debt in legal tender.
Interesting.
You can pay in cash because then it becomes, they can take you to court, but you can still settle, you know, at court you have offered to pay in legal tender. But I know some businesses here, fast food places, are, when you get to the counter, they're not having signs outside that it's card only. And when you get to the counter, they're literally dumping the food into the bin if you go to pay in cash.
Yeah, it's absolutely obscene.
Support them.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, let me read you some of the comments coming in. Sonia, I work in Tesco. The glitch was sending personal shoppers all over the shop to pick items instead of in aisle order. We even joked it was the Russians interfering, right? And Melissa, what that comment that you just made about McDonald's, good morning to you, Daisy Bell on X, saying a message from Perth, from Daisy Bell's daughter. Look at this. Australia, Japan and New Zealand had McDonald's outage over the weekend here. Melissa, this is very coincidental, isn't it, that this is happening so far and wide?
I don't think that it's glitches. I think it's stress tests. It makes more sense. And for Australia, Australia have their digital ID already in place. They followed the model from Ukraine with the DIA app, and they have it for government services. So they have been selected to be top of the line for the new agenda. So I think it's stress testing for this new cashless system that is going to be coming in. All they have to do is contract it. We learned that from Nigeria. Just contract the money supply, and that's quite easy to do in the UK, Australia, Canada, anywhere that has the Queen on the notes. Well, they're going to have to issue new notes. And now there's speculation. There is currently bullion with Charles on it, but the notes aren't out yet. And then is Charles going to abdicate to William? So that's a really easy way of contracting the money supply here, because you just... They are no longer valid. And then do exactly what they did in Nigeria, that you constrict the supply of the new notes so that they're just not available.
That is so scary. So, Melissa, we have to be realistic here. And that is, I mean, many of the people watching this are clued up enough, but we need to get this message out far and wide. In my understanding, Melissa, what we're dealing with here is you're saying this is probably stress tests that they're putting us under. This is really ultimately about taking us to this financial reset, isn't it? So digital ID, a social credit system, central bank digital currencies, that's what it's really all about, right?
Absolutely. They have, I think the IMF come out and said that it has to be by 2025, everybody has to have a digital ID. Digital ID has to come before CBDC. They are currently trialling with Britcoin. Bank of England is working with Bank of International Settlements and towards retail CBDC for peer-to-peer payments. And it's billed as cheaper and easier. And that's what you got to be careful about as well. A lot of businesses are saying, you know, that they're getting hit hard with the credit card or the car payment fees.
Right.
So when they switch and say, oh, we'll come to CBDC, it's free, you know, there'll be no charges, they're going to absolutely bail in on that. They'll be all over that because it's, and if your bank fails and you're going to be given it in CBDC again, or instead of getting a ridiculous interest rate on your savings in the bank, they'll just romance you in CBDC with maybe a 7% interest rate, and everybody will bail in to that. So this is, but, and you can't blame people. So for the people that are aware, I have been to so many events that I know that everybody in that room was awake and aware to what was going on. And yet I have seen so many of them take out their cards or take out their phones to pay for something. And I honestly want to walk around the room with a hammer.
I understand. I completely get you. Look, Melissa, I'm so sorry. I have to bring our conversation to an end, which is such a pity. Please come back on. Please continue to dissect this issue with me because it's so important. Everybody, this is Melissa Chimay, and she's just been responding to the whole idea of these massive IT meltdowns in British supermarkets this weekend. And it would appear all over the world, in other parts of the world as well. And Melissa has described them as a stress test. And I say, listen to this woman. Melissa, take good care of yourself. Thank you for joining us this morning. We will
be
right back.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Asthma is a growing problem, especially among children. Asthma affects the quality of life for millions like me every single day. My name is Chris Draft, and I have asthma. And I've spent more than a decade in the NFL tackling asthma on and off the field. Join me in the EPA in helping people control their asthma. Asthma is a lung condition that can be controlled through medication and by avoiding things that can make it worse. Three steps are the solution to controlling asthma. Step one, talk to a doctor. Step two, make a plan. And step three, get rid of things that can make it worse. Asthma can be tackled. For more information on asthma, log on to epa.gov/asthma.
You're listening to Sonia Poulton on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT.
Very interesting guest. Thank you, says Holly. Yes, indeed. Very interesting indeed. And the thing is, it's really important, even if you hate money and you hate money talk and everything, it's really important to do everything you can to get to grips with what actually is being said here, because we know they want to change the very face of our financial system. And we're the capital. And let's have a complete shift in focus now, because that's the brilliance, isn't it, about being able to have a two-hour show, is we can talk about all manner of different topics that we wouldn't necessarily have had time for before. And this is something that many people have talked about, and you won't hear this in legacy media, but I thought it was really important. And that is, I want to talk about the relationship between British British actress Liz Hurley, famously, obviously, a former partner of Hugh Grant, and her son Damien. And their relationship makes many people, including me, uncomfortable. For years, it is Damien who has been behind the camera taking the half undressed and sexualized pictures of his mum for social media, which is weird, right? Like, I mentioned this to my daughter, who actually knew Damien. They used to go to the same summer camp together in Gloucestershire. But that's an aside. But I thought that was weird. And now what we've seen is Damien has progressed from taking these half undressed pictures of his mum to actually his directorial debut being one of her, of directing his mum in sex scenes, which is just, it just creeps me out. And I thought, who can I discuss this with? And I thought, I know the woman. And she is Lucinda Lidston. She is a clinical director, a senior clinical psychotherapist. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lucinda. I always appreciate your, well, just no-nonsense approach. Because is it wrong for me to find that icky? Because this is not really a celebrity story. This is about a son and a mother conducting a very public relationship that seems completely inappropriate. And I wanted your feedback on that.
Yeah, so I'm 100% in agreement with you. And the first thing I did when I was researching and thinking about this piece was to ask my sons. So they're 27 and 28. And I said to them, can you think of any scenario where you would feel comfortable photographing me in a bikini? And they were no. And I said, well, and also, how about if you were a filmmaker, how would you feel about directing me in a sex scene? And they were both absolutely horrified, really horrified. And I think if we're truthful, most of us are, aren't we? So yeah. Nobody
wants to imagine their parents having sex for a start, right? So it's along those lines, isn't it? It's an ick attached to it. And there has to be an evolutionary, a natural reason why we feel ick at that thought.
Yes, and that's a really good point. Like, nobody necessarily teaches us to feel ick. We just naturally do, don't we? It's just one area where we don't want to go. And, you know, to be fair about Liz Hurley, she's not the only celeb, is she? You know, Kerry Katona was criticised a while back for taking pictures of herself in her underwear with her 12-year-old daughter looking on, and the look on her little daughter's face, like she's obviously idolising her mum. And people were saying, oh, what a load of nonsense. You know, it's just like wearing a bikini. But we're not talking about levels of nakedness even. We're talking about displaying your sexual nature, even in a mild way, in front of your children and crossing those boundaries. And where does this end? You know, for people that do OnlyFans, are you going to have your children in the room when you're doing your OnlyFans vids? You know, so where do we draw the line? And I do think, sorry, Sonia, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. And I do think, is this just another way that our society is degenerating? And right. You've done a lot of pieces about the sexualization of children. And albeit, you know, we are talking about an adult child here. He's 21, I believe. But there were reports from 2018. So that's what, 6 years ago, of him taking photos of his mum then, when he was a young lad. He's certainly under the age of 18. And you know, I'm always very wary as a therapist because I know that we've not got them in the room. We're not talking right. to them directly, and we only know gossip and we only know these stories. But there was a report of him saying at one time that actually he did feel very uncomfortable about that, about constantly taking these photos of his mum.
Well, it is uncomfortable. I mean, so Liz Hurley, what she's been quoted as saying, that she felt liberated stripping off for the sex scene directed by Damien. Having him there meant I felt safe and looked after. That immediately was red flags for me, Lucinda, because she's the mother. Why is she looking to her son looking after her, right?
Mm. And as always, being a therapist, became very interested in the context of their relationship. You know, is she a narcissistic parent and there's no room for him, and therefore how does he develop a personality of his own? Are they enmeshed and so they can't distinguish the boundaries between the two of them? Does she see him as an extension of her? Because it's always her in the spotlight, isn't it?
Mm.
And, the wider issue for me is also, why are all these older ladies constantly having to put bikini shots of themselves on their Instagram? You know, they're all very beautiful women. Kerry Katona, her... what's the woman off of Britain's Got Talent? Amanda Holden.
Yes. Carol Vorderman.
Carol Vorderman, all of them constantly put, great that you look so brilliant, late into your 50s, early 60s, fantastic. But really, you're treating yourself as a commodity. And what are we teaching younger women? That all we are, still now in 2024, all we are is a sexual being. And as we, and particularly as we age, we've got nothing else to offer. And what is the desperation to hang on to that? But to recruit your children into your sexuality in any sort of a way, I just think is very damaging indeed. And it doesn't feel right, does it?
No, it doesn't feel right. And it's funny, you triggered some thoughts in me there. Heidi Klum, the supermodel, she started appearing in underwear commercials with her child, and they sort of have their breasts pressed to each other, which is just really, really odd. The Kardashians almost never compose with their children without sexualized pictures where they stand on their tiptoes, they thrust out their breasts. We've discussed that before, you and I. So something wrong with it. And I have to say that I don't like seeing young women in their physical prime half naked on social media. And so I make no distinction about the age of somebody. I just find it like when you get to my age, surely you should have grown up enough by that point not to be so desperate for the attention that these half nude shots bring you, because that's what it does. It's just attention seeking. And some of these people have so much more to offer than just sort of getting, their breasts out, don't they? That it feels so regressive, Lucinda. It feels like we're going backwards.
Yes, it's hungry for something, isn't it? Constant stream of me in my bikini. But the other thing is, I wonder, what do you think? Does it make a difference if it's the other way around? What if it's a 58-year-old man and his 21-year-old daughter is filming him in a sex scene? Does that make a difference? I don't know. Is that better? Is that worse? And it's interesting because I was looking at the literature, and there's not an awful lot on the literature about those kind of boundary crossings between adult children and their parents. But it does seem that in a family, if we're just talking about nakedness, so nothing sexual, if we're just talking about nakedness, it does seem that women and daughters will be around each other naked for older, into adolescence perhaps, and even into adulthood. But fathers with sons, they generally stop being naked around each other quite early on.
Right.
So even to look at the dynamics of that in a family setting, wandering around your house, nothing sexual about it, there seems to be natural boundaries that emerge from us all, as I said, without having to be taught about that.
Right. And also, there's a couple of things I'd like to say there that you've just triggered thoughts in me. In answer to your question whether fathers would get the same stick, I remember, I don't know if people remember out there, Samantha Fox, she was a Page 3 model. Page 3 was one of Rupert Murdoch's pages in The Sun, which has since gone, and that's where women were topless. That's just for our viewers around the world. And she famously, one was managed by her father, but famously, she appeared on her 16th birthday topless on Page 3. And my first thought was, what awful, awful parents have been raised her up to be like this. But the other thing that I want your take on this, Lucinda, because I think it's important, is it possible, hypothetically speaking, I'm not defaming anybody here, but is it possible that to a degree, Damien has been groomed by his mother? And I'm not talking that she's doing anything untoward, but groomed, that this is normal, that this is acceptable behavior. Because it's like when I meet children who've grown up in an abusive household, sometimes they don't realize it was abusive until they get out into the wider world and realize not everybody behaves like daddy or mummy did, right? So I'm just wondering whether Damien has been groomed over a period of time to accept this.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it would be interesting, wouldn't it? As a therapist, I would be interested in talking to him on his own, away from his mum. Like, what, as I said, what's his personality? It's interesting that he's gone into the film industry as well. And I wonder how he'll feel in 10 years, in 15 years, you know? But also I was thinking about an aspect of this. So, you know, after all, that is their work. You know, you mentioned Sam Fox. I mean, to me, that's nothing worse than pimping her out. I'm sorry about my language, but I really
I completely agree. No, yeah.
It's just horrific to me. But so if that is your business and that's how you earn your living and you're proud of that, and we all want our parents to be proud of us and to know what we're doing. So it's a bit difficult, isn't it? If that's how you earn your living, how do you show your parents what you do without those boundaries being crossed?
Right.
And I can remember years ago doing a bit of modelling, absolutely nothing distasteful, but there were shots of me in my underwear, in my bra, and I felt really uncomfortable about sort of, you know, showing them to my dad. It was like, No, don't want him to see that, even though there was nothing overtly sexual about them. But it's, I wouldn't wander around at 16 in my underwear in my house in front of my dad. So why am I going to want him to see pictures of me?
Right. But and topless.
That's the other thing. And you can say, well, this is a cultural thing because, of course, abroad in Europe, women sunbathe topless and they don't do that necessarily in this country. But again, nakedness is not the same as sexual side of us, is it? And these pictures are all about posing in a sexual nature by degrees. So nakedness and being okay with your body, there's a very distinct boundary there, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. I completely agree. We've got loads of comments, of course. Kelly Brook went on Jeremy Carr with her dad when she was 15, wanted to do topless, and her dad was her manager. I just think this is bad parenting. I'm sorry. I think any parent who has their child taking sexual pictures of them is guilty of child abuse to a degree. Absolutely. We're supposed to be protecting our children from that. And to make them part and parcel of our online sexual shenanigans just sickens me to the core, Lucinda. I mean, there's something not right about it. But that is exactly why we all feel ick about it, because we know it's not right, right? So yeah. How is this still allowed to happen? Do you think that she could be so lost in her own mind that the court of public opinion, which is completely against what she does, but she still carries on? So how do you, well, like from a psychotherapist perspective, how do you manage to shut out such dissent?
Well, because when we do that, when we shut out alternative opinions, it's because we can't bear to look at, you know, if she looks at that, then there'll be a lot of questions that she has to ask about herself. So that's why we defend against our behaviour, is because otherwise we'd have to, one, change it, but we'd have to look at it and we'd have to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, there is always a wider context, isn't there? We can't see people in isolation. We have to see them in the society and the environment that we live in. And I don't know what it's like to live in that world of celebrity. And let's face it, everything is about image, isn't it? You know, so I don't know about how those boundaries get crossed. But to me, on no level is that okay. And I'm sure the majority of us know that. But again, you know, if I was speaking with her, it's like, what were her boundaries with her parents? You know, so there's lots of questions that I would be asking around that. But you know, if I'm going to get off the fence, then absolutely I'm with you. It's just not okay. It's not okay.
It's not okay at all. Thank you so much for coming, shedding some light on this. I think these are conversations we need to have, rather than what they do in legacy media is they just accept it. And then it becomes an acceptable basis of people behaving. No, it's not acceptable. I will never find it acceptable of children taking sexual shots of their parents, full stop. And Siv from Sydney said, congratulations, loving the show. We love it too. And I wanted to end this first 2 hours with somebody that I am very familiar with and whose opinion I trust deeply on matters of psychology and psychotherapy and all those wonderful and important things. Lucinda, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Wishing you a wonderful week, everybody. It is Lucinda Lidston. She is, of course, a clinical psychotherapist, and she's taking out Monday's show for us. And I just want to thank you, Lucinda. Take good care of yourself. And
thank
I just
you.
Want to thank
you, darling.
Thank you, sweetheart. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. We're about to leave you for the first 2 hours, first Monday show. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Sorry for some of the chaos that's going on. Just as we bed in and get used to being here every day, 2 hours. Wonderful comments on the chat and all over on X, on Instagram. Keep them coming in. Tell us your stories. Obviously, we've got more time to play with now, so we can definitely give more time to our viewers' stories. And I just want to say thank you to the entire team for making today possible. We will continue on tomorrow. Stick around. We've got a whole raft of brilliant shows coming up. A new schedule is taking place around here. And I know that there is a new person starting tomorrow. I think he's made an announcement, so I will continue it. And that is Johnny Vedmore. He'll be doing our Drive Time show. And I like Johnny. I like him a great deal. So I look forward to see what he has to bring to TNT. And on that note, I just want to say thank you to everybody for being here this morning. We will see you tomorrow. As I say, stick around, take excellent care of yourself. Have a fantastic Monday. See you tomorrow.